Fresh Takes. Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum's Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Here with Ill Poppy, Michael Schumer.
That's me, don't forget it.
Here to talk The Last of Us, Season 2, Episode 2, Through the Valley. I'm pretty sure I got it right this time.
You did get it right this time.
That sounds too right. Hidden Valley, In the Valley, Descent into the Valley. Beep! In the Valley. Wait, no. Yep. Beep! Dead in the Valley. Speaking of which, this is your spoiler warning. Everybody, this is that episode. If you know what that episode is, feel free to continue. And if you've watched that episode, episode 2 of The Last of Us, season 2, Into the Valley, Through the Valley, Hidden Valley, Ranch, then we're talking spoilers. We're talking all of it. We are going through everything that happened, because this is that episode. And if you ever watch Game of Thrones, which this episode is very similar to in many ways, more ways than one, this is that episode. And what I mean by that is there wasn't a wedding, but if there was a wedding, it would be called White Wedding or something similar of that nature.
Isn't there actually a white wedding in Game of Thrones?
No, purple wedding.
No, it was a purple wedding. The purple wedding. Red wedding. That's what I'm thinking of.
This one would be white wedding or green wedding. Yellow. What are the color of the mushrooms? Because I feel like that would be the best way to call
really
it.
I don't really know if they have. They kind of just brown? All over the... They're like, yeah, brown wedding.
That's a bad name for multiple of reasons.
Yes.
All right. That episode, that's your spoiler warning. We're talking all of it. All right, before we get into it, though, I do want to say quick words about my friend Dylan Johnson. He had passed away this weekend, and really good friend of mine, childhood friend. Haven't been close in many years. Wish that was different, but really good friend. Honestly, in many ways, felt like a brother. And this is, for me, just a weird week for him to pass, because I've been thinking about him all this week. It was also my birthday week. Didn't do a birthday episode this year. Maybe we'll do one this weekend. Who knows? Maybe your wife has a surprise. We'll see. Anyway, weird week just because, one, my friend Dylan has been a part of many, many of my birthdays. In fact, maybe all of them throughout my childhood. And this, as you can see with my Chad Johnson jersey, one of his favorite players, or pretty sure is one of his favorite players, same last name and all. This is the week of the draft, something that I've done many, many times with him. So rest in peace, my friend. You will be missed. So with that, let's move on to Last of Us Part 2, or Season 2. All right, Michael.
Jacob.
We are going to do what happened in this episode, because there is quite a bit. Not as much as last episode, but that was table dressing. We are getting into the thick of it. Main course meal, fucking first course, or at least second course, right? Like, if we were to compare the season to courses of meals, like the first episode was really...
So I'd say this is a very hearty appetizer. Like
hearty appetizer?
I would say it, depending where the rest of the season goes, there's gonna be some.
It's a fucking steak.
It kind of does come out of nowhere. It's kind of like you're getting served steak like right after a salad. You're like, what the fuck?
You're just like, what?
And you got six. It's like I got six more.
It's
meals
like
to
it's
go.
Gonna be what? So good that you're gonna want more. Except that's not exactly how I'd describe this episode. But it's definitely like the steak. At least like there was like one part of this episode where I was like, okay, this is the fucking steak. This is the meal. This is the scene that people will always rewind. Not necessarily, like there's two of these scenes. One, there's the story scene that everyone knows, the scene that makes this that episode. And then there is like the wide scene that all like the casual fans are like, dude, did you see that bloater? Did you see those clickers?
That shit was crazy.
So there's like two moments. Okay, let's get into what happened. Abby and friends have arrived in Jackson. They are taking shelter at a nearby ski resort. They saw it during night, and then they saw it during the day. And after seeing the day, they've seen that this is a really well thought out town. These people are well trained. They are well armed. There is no way in and out other than the four entrances on each side. This is going to be a lot bigger operation than they thought. Abby decides, F it, I'm going to scope out the town, go into the mountain, and be frozen on the mountain with binoculars and looking very hard to the point that it seems like she's doing something. I might be stealing this a little bit from Critical Drinker because he had some harsh words. I don't agree with him in most of his stuff, but I will say when he pointed that out, I was just like, okay, yeah. I rewatched it. I was like, she's being very intense and very mean looking every time she looks through one of those scopes. Moving. Angsty. Jesse wakes up Ellie to go on patrol. He reveals that Joel wanted to go with her, but also wanted her to sleep in, so he took Dina instead. Ellie reveals to Jesse that her and Joel are fine now. Everyone needs to stop talking about them because they will always be Ellie, or she will always be Ellie, he will always be Joel, and they will always be Joel and Ellie, and they will be together, always be together. They all need to fuck off and mind their business. Which, fair point on Ellie.
Yep. They have a complicated relationship, and she's cool with leaving it like that. Then nobody else needs to understand their shit.
Yeah. Very mature of her. Oh, I hope it goes well. Moving on. They all go out. There is storms in the mountains. Tommy's just like, you'll be fine as long as you don't go into the mountains. Where, you know, of course, Abby is in the mountains, freezing her ass off in the moment. Jesse and Ellie are caught up in the blizzard. They go into Eugene's marijuana farm. Actually, I don't know if this is Eugene's marijuana farm. It is. Okay. They camp there.
Yep.
Abby spots Joel and Dina, or I believe this is Joel and Dina, riding through up the mountain towards them. She goes to scope up more, falls down the mountain, and wakens a giant horde of frozen infected that more or less starts kind of a, not an avalanche, but kind of an avalanche feel to it. And she runs away, escapes the frozen horn by going through a wall, then decides to go through go right next to a fence, and then realize all those infected can easily get her through a fence. She crawls under, gets pinned by... I wrote this wrong. I said she got saved by Dina. Nope, she gets pinned and gets saved by no one other than Joel. Abby then says, hey, there's protection at my place with my friends. Joel somehow agrees to this. As they go to the mansion, they reveal that he is Joel, says his name. They take Dina hostage and put Joel at gunpoint. Mel puts Dina to sleep. Abby goes full murder hobo as she slowly beats Joel with several swing and punches, and then gives a very long monologue about who she is until Joel says, shut the fuck up.
Based moment, honestly.
I was like, you know what, Joel? You're right. This is,
it's just like, shut up.
It's
dude.
It's like, you know what? You said your points. You made some good arguments, but like, just get to the fucking point. It just
keeps going. Come on.
It really seems like she like spent the 5 years and was just like,
she's like, I'm ready for this. Like, it's
like
moment.
Written, like, she just remembered this speech by speech, and she's just like, you know, oh yeah, uninterrupted. It's like, shut the fuck up and get it over with already. I killed your dad. Get over it. Okay.
Yep, pretty much.
Joel is then, Ellie arrives and is subdued very, very quickly. Joel is then executed by Abby via stabbing in the neck, which is a difference to the game. Ellie promises to kill Abby. Abby and friends leave. Ellie and Pell leaves with Joel's corpse. Oh, and on top of all this, I completely forgot. In the meantime, there is a huge infected horde attack, which may or may not have been by Abby and or the leaves in the pipe. Tommy, I forget actually how they were like aware a horde was coming. I don't remember if they were warned or if they're just like, hey, it could happen.
They had the watch outs. Well, what made them freak out, I believe, was that they they had somebody had mentioned like a bunch of infected popping up out of the ground, and then they just had noticed there's been so like increased activity from the infected, and then they had just seen them during the watch, and they're like, "Fuck!"
So they all, so the town all then gets ready. Tommy leads in heroic action, calling out Jackson Hole, which is never mentioned in the game like that, and I think it's fucking amazing. Jackson's Hole is a really fun town to go to if you've never been, Michael. I would say you and Haley would be, it would be a cool place for you guys to visit someday.
I'd be down Haley's, for that, just for the...
Haley's been there technically, but I don't know. I don't think she'll have any memory of it. That being said, so Tommy and crew, they take care of business after many, several casualties. A bloater at one point beats through the wall. Tommy then runs, grabs a huge flamethrower, and just kind of mano-y-manos a bloater, kills him right to the near to his death.
You know, I got to interject here. I swear to God, I've had that exact moment in the game. They're fucking charging you. You're like, fucking die! And you're hitting them with everything you have, and you're like, if I die, whatever, but... And then they just... you're like... Okay.
And then, but yeah, they save, the day is saved. Tommy and Maria are not bitten. Several are dead. All the infected is gone. The show ends with Ellie, Jesse, and Dina leaving with Joel's corpse. All right. This is where we get to our new segment. Not, I got some questions, because it usually ends up being, I got a massive amount of fucking questions, Michael. New segment, 5 questions to appease Michael.
Hit me.
You got to give me 5 questions too. That was part of the deal.
That is true.
Okay. I do have,
oh shit, now I'm thinking though, some of my questions are kind of, I can be vague about it. I got a couple questions that I'm very curious about.
All right, but... I want to go first though.
Right.
Question number 1. They're fine. Joel and Ellie are fine. Michael, are you happy the way they're doing things?
Yeah, actually, I kind of am. That's, it ties into one of my questions. Actually, I'm trying to figure out how to explain this.
For those who don't know, in the game, there is a certain telling of events that
this gets very different from that, and that's actually one of my questions. My question kind of answers your question here, which is, I think it's like,
wait, are you answering really my question with a question?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But it's question / answer, more discussion, I guess, honestly. But it's like, I was curious about the changing of orders, like what your thought was on that, because they are, it seems like they're really...
They are changing the order, but they're doing the one thing I think you're really grateful for, which is they're holding the one bit of information that kind of ties it all together. And I think... For a spoiler-free episode, I don't know if we can get much more detailed than that.
I think we can leave it there. But yeah, there is one big moment I think I will be very upset if they do any earlier in the series.
I think it'd be fine if it's done well, or if it's done in like the right way and it serves like a story beat.
It's just so fundamental to the ending, though.
I know. Ending of part 2. But there is 3 seasons, 2 to 3 seasons for this whole game. So I think I would be fine for the ending of like this season. I could see it. I would be fine for the ending of the show.
The question I have is, if they do that, how do they continue the... Yeah, I can't say anything else.
Yeah.
We'll save it.
I don't know what they'll say would do. But I think I trust Neil Druckmann and Craig, like, I trust those guys well enough, because everything they added new or everything they changed it has been, like, for the most part, for the betterment of the story. I do have a complaint, though, that I think most...
Really?
I do, and that would be my next question. I don't know if it's a complaint, but it's definitely, like, one where I'm like, I think you guys, you crossed your philosophy a little bit. But it's not like I hate it, but I'm like... We'll get into it. But I think overall, like, if they, let's say they do it for season 2, they do the thing they end the game on. I wouldn't mind it for season two, as long as it fits the story and they come and create something else for season three and season four. And I think they have the ability to do that.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at with it.
I'm curious. I could see.
I trust them. Yeah, like that's what I like when I trust like the showmakers. Like, you know what? I may not understand their decisions, but I trust them well enough to know that like it will turn. Like, I don't know if it'll be better if what they end up going with, but I'm like, I think it's going to be worth it, or it's going to be at least like worth the see, because we already have the game story. We know that story. That story will never change, but the show story, I don't mind it changing as long as it's like something that's equally different, like equally in quality that's different, or something that's better.
You know, I heard somebody say this is, it feels like this is kind of like Neil's second pass at the story kind of thing, which that was a really interesting take on it. Like in The Last of Us part one and or season one and two, it's like him being like, okay, if I could do this again, what would I do differently?
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. It's like, it's just more like stuff that didn't really work. I mean, it worked for some people in the game world, but not everybody. Like the whole Abby thing, like that's a huge change.
It's very different. Fair to say.
So for those of you that, okay, I still gotta be careful here. No, I don't think I have to. I'm gonna spoil the big gameplay reveal about part two, if that's okay. Unless you think I shouldn't. The halfway point. I'll leave it.
Nope, don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do that. Okay. Okay. Well, I can say this then. They changed Abby's story a lot in this adaptation, in the sense of you didn't know shit about her in the game. She just literally basically comes in, kills Joel, that's it. You have no context, no nothing. Mm-hmm. The gaming community had some mixed reactions to it. I think people that were willing to give the game a fair shot. Yeah, it was very shocking. And in this, like, the thing I thought was really interesting is I have a friend that still hates Abby, but he understands. He's like, fuck. Like, as soon as he puts the pieces together and she says it, he's like, I get it.
I have a take.
Like, you don't like it, but you get it.
I have a fresh take for you, Michael.
All right.
Fresh ticks. Get your fresh ticks here. All right. I think the difference between the game and the show, I think the game is an empathy test. I think it's a test where if you have a certain level of empathy, it will affect your judgment of the game. And what I mean by this is we knew nothing of Abby. We knew everything of Joel. We love Joel. We were Joel. We love Ellie. She's essentially a daughter to anyone who's played as Joel. And we also become Ellie. So when someone kills, like, our loved one, we immediately fucking hate this person. And so the game does this thing where it puts you in the perspective of Abby, and you are forced, literally forced, to be her, to see her perspective. And I'm sorry, Michael, I think I just did the thing, and I just realized I did the thing.
Yeah.
But it's an empathy test. Can you get past the fact that she killed somebody you hate to see her perspective? And the show didn't present itself as an empathy test. The show is just like, here's Abby's story. This is what she's doing. This is why she's doing what she's doing. This is why she wants to do the thing of this episode.
I'm going to give you a counterpoint here. I like your take, but I'm going to give you a counterpoint. Okay. I think the show is still an empathy test, but it's a better
one. Is it a better one or an easier one?
I think it's a... I mean, it can't. You can be both, can't it?
No, maybe. I don't know. Like,
my take on it is, in the game, you are so, and it's a game, so you have to be, but you're so desensitized to the violence, mm-hmm. and the NPCs have no, I mean, they do a better job in the second game of saying, like, Carl!
Well, the dog whines when, like, you kill kill the dog, and it's like, rrr, 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 and you're like, oh, God.
And they're like, where's Scooter? And you're like,
Puppy, where are you? You know, and then of course, yep. like you meet all the dogs you kill. Like you literally meet all the dogs that you kill. And like,
I don't think you meet all of them, but you do see a fair amount of them. You play ball with one of them at least.
It's like, oh, puppy. And you're like, oh, puppy. I'm so sorry.
So I think the reason I say it's better is maybe I shouldn't say better. It's more refined. Yes, I think the TV show gets a little, and this kind of relates to one of my questions slash it's really more of a discussion. Honestly, most of my questions are more just discussion points, but whatever. They're kind of questions, but like, because I was going to ask you if you thought, and you kind of already answered it when we were going through it, but like Abby's monologue was a little too on the nose, is how I'd say it. It was like, all right, they honestly could have left it with the motivation she had of like him being, they could have been more vague with it, and I think it's still would have got the message across. But I think where the show succeeds better than the game does is that there's a lot more emphasis on the value of individual human lives. In the game, you are just Joel and Ellie and everybody you play as is basically the fucking T-3000, and they just kill everything in their fucking path. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can sneak around. I'm like, why the fuck would you? You're exploding arrows.
I've been playing part two so much, and there's so many times where I get through the level itself, and I murder like 10, 20 people, only to be like, oh, I could have just sneaked past literally all of them, or just ran here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nah. There's a lot more loot if I kill them all.
And so, like, sorry
doggies.
Oof, I had a huge burp there. I was just drinking my little brewski here.
You gotta pretend like it doesn't happen, man. Just let it go. Yeah. It never happened.
Never happened. But I think where the game maybe does, or the show does a little bit better, is like it really emphasizes to you that Joel killed 18 people. Like you really put that into numbers. Like you walk into an office building, you see your coworkers, and like everybody has like 18 coworkers. And like imagine if you just went in and it was just empty. And it was like some guy just killed 18 fucking people. That's insane. And
especially if you don't know like the reason.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just like, what the fuck happened?
And like not just 18 people, like your dad, they were trying friends, to save your colleagues.
Your dad, your friends. Yep. And like people that were maybe. I don't know. I don't think I necessarily think the Fireflies are good people, but they were trying to help the
They're
world.
Incompetent, like do-gooders. I think it's like the best way to put them. Incompetent.
That's actually really...
do-gooders. They're like the New Republic in Star Wars. Like, yeah, they want to do good, but their incompetence is their undoing.
Yeah. So I think that's where like that criticism at. That's where I think the empathy is better in the game or in the show. Sorry, I keep saying it.
Better in the game.
It's because it really empathizes. It really gets you to like really, really sit with.
It does.
Joel's decision, even if they didn't, Abby, and that's where I kind of don't like that Abby had that long-winded rant, because I'm like, you don't even, like, I like instantly the second she, like, you see that scene with her in the beginning, they could have left it there, and that's enough. Like, all you had to know is it was somebody important to her. Maybe she could have thrown the dad thing in there and then just left it at that, but it was like the long-winded, and now I will get my ultimate revenge on you.
Yeah, I mean,
that's... Joel Miller, and you will understand the pain of that you have incurred upon me for the last 5 years. And in fact, shut the fuck up.
Hold on. That's hold on. It is that energy. Like that.
It's very mustache twirly like. Do you remember the day you killed my father?
She'd be a good WWE wrestler.
Sorry, Caitlin Dever. I think she does a good job, but I don't know. The writing was a little too ham-fisted there. I don't
actually hate it, because I think for someone who would stew on this for 5 years and like literally would go across the country, or I don't know about across, well, it's actually a pretty far distance, like a fourth of the country to Seattle, and then go another fourth of the country to Jackson Hole.
The context of it being like a post-apocalyptic world, that's a long fucking journey to take. You don't have a car or anything, you're going horseback. They didn't even have horses.
Like,
they were
that's
walking.
Like half the Oregon Trail right there.
Actually, one second here. I'm really curious now because I want to look up the exact...
No, in the game they didn't have a car because Joel took the last car. Maybe they had horses? I don't know. Either way, like, it's a long trip. It's at least a week.
It would take... So it says... this is what I'm reading on Google Maps.
Okay.
It says 315 hours, but I imagine it's like in this
non-stop.
Case... Yeah, that's like nonstop. So realistically,
a week, 2 weeks.
I mean, you'd have to stop. Yeah, 350.
It's not close.
Probably a month. It would honestly probably take close to a month because you probably have to deal with infected and shit too.
Maybe.
Like, it's not just like an easy peasy, like, you know you're not going to run into any
problems. I will say the game makes it feel like it's not that, like, not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like, there's like moments, but it's not like that difficult. Ooh. As long as you don't like go into like cities or like those mass locations. Like, you can travel freely as long as you're being smart about it. I had a different question, and that was going to be my next question, the big question where I kind of talk my criticism of the show. But I'm going to skip it for the one that's more topical. All right. Here's my question to you, Michael.
Sure.
Is Small and Furious Abby more evil than Beefcake Abby?
Beefcake Abby's more intimidating. Oh, for sure. I would say. I don't really know about... I can't say. We haven't seen enough,
for
I think.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree. No, Beefcake Abby? God damn.
Beefcake Abby would have me, like, if...
Dude, she'd snap your neck in 7 seconds. Like...
Yeah. I kind of... Like, I get why they didn't have Caitlyn Dever go through that process, you know?
Yeah.
But... I do think it inadvertently is kind of it's a missed opportunity for some excellent quiet story building. Does that make sense? Or world building maybe? Because when you look at it, the reason why does she want to get strong in the game? She's like a regular girl.
Oh yeah.
Until her dad dies. But after that, it's like, I need to get stronger. I need to get stronger. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't feel like you, and like you meet her and you're like, oh, this chick is, I'm going to say it first. She's built different. Like, she's not what you would expect from a typical female protagonist, but like, or antagonist, or whatever, a female character. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I think there's a lot of people that are way too fucking sensitive about it.
Yeah.
But I always like that, like, you're like, oh, this is from that obsession of, like, revenge.
Dude, I actually, like, really enjoy her character and the ferocity of it. I'm like, it's hard to imagine in the, like... the real world, just because there's not a lot of women built like her, and maybe it's not realistic, maybe it's not. It's a freaking video game, so I don't really care. It's just kind of like, yeah, playing a Beefcake Abby, really strong person, like really fun to just plow through people. Like, it's so different from Ellie. Back to the question though, is Small and Furious Abby more evil than Beefcake Abby? I messaged you. After I watched this episode, because I made the take that Abby deserves more happiness than Ellie for reasons in the game that I won't say here because it spoils a lot of the show.
Oh, this Abby. Okay, that's right. I forgot you said that. I was going
to
say.
But this Abby is so much more harder to defend because this is like, I think Small Furious Abby is a little bit more evil in the sense of like, she's a fucking murder hobo, as I say it. Like, she was just like, and she didn't do the thing in the game where she like outright wanted to save other people. She was hell bent on that revenge. And I'm okay with that story change. I'm okay with this being more evil.
What do you mean by?
So like in the game itself, she was just focused. She didn't really give a shit about the people in the room. She was focused on Joel.
Oh yeah, I was gonna bring this up. Oh, okay.
But in the show, she's like, "All right, Dina. Like, basically, like, you either put her to sleep or I'm gonna bash her fucking head, and I don't care. I will fucking murder her to get to this fucking dude." Whereas, like, she didn't do that in the game. Tommy more or less was knocked out right away using, you know, fiction logic. You knock in the head, you knock him out. The show didn't do that, by the way. Which good on them. But I will say the whole Dina scene, like, we'll knock her out. I hated that. I hated that part of it because I think it was a cop-out. I think Dina freaking witnessing all of this would have changed everything so much, but also would have added a lot more to her character. Her just getting knocked out with like the thing, like, oh.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't want to deal with those consequences. It's like, oh, Mel can knock her out. It's like, okay. It's like, it's okay, but it's a cop-out. Anyway, besides that point,
honestly, like, here's what I'm gonna say. People, like, I get what people are like, oh, video game logic. I'm like, it's fine. It's like in a TV show, if somebody said, yeah, I got pistol whipped in the face and it knocked me out, I'd be like, I can see it.
Video game it works for video games too, but I'm just saying, like, in fiction logic, like, most, like, the real world doesn't work. Like, if you get knocked out that hard and you, like, I got slapped in the face with a concussion, and that was shit for weeks, right? Getting knocked out
And then, even if they had like just tied her up and basically like made her like tied her up so she couldn't do anything and she just had to watch, and like they could have still like, you know, like be like pissed, like not that I'm advocating for this, but they could have still, to given her more agency as a character, they could have like pistol whipped her or whatever, and so she was still there.
Joel was like but a then dad maybe to her.
Yeah, another way. Yeah, yeah. Joel's just kind of got daddy vibes.
Daddy.
That's just, I'll leave that to Pedro Pascal. Daddy Pedro. He's just got the daddy Pedro. But, okay. Are you doing all your questions?
I just did that one. And I'm going to say, I just think she's more evil, and I'm going to get to the actual point. I think she's more evil the fact that, like, Beefcake Abby, she's just more or less like, bam, 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 bam. And, like...
Well, and Beefcake Abby specifically did not care about killing anybody else.
And, like...
They kind of got rid of that point I don't like that.
I don't think small and ferocious like Abby wanted to kill anybody else, but she was okay with using the idea of murdering other people to get to Joel. And then Beefcake Abby was just like, I'm just solely focused on murdering Joel. I'm going to murder Joel. I don't give a shit about anybody else. She made the choice to walk away. Small and ferocious Abby, she did make the choice to walk away, but like it wasn't presented that like she made that choice. They kind of just unilaterally walked away, and it kills my argument. I will say this for my argument that I made about the game, it kills my argument for the show. Like it does a lot.
I think that's
it's harder to defend. I'm okay with it.
I do think they wanted to, like, while they were going to give Abby a little bit more empathy in this version, I think they're also like, it is inexcusable. They're not going to let her slide. You know what I mean? And I think that's sometimes where I think the argument for Abby kind of can sometimes go both ways. It can either be she's completely awful and irredeemable and god awful, and then people are like, no, she's a saint. She did a good, you know, and it's like, no, she's like everybody else. She's very gray. And that's like, there's no safety in this society. It forces the worst out of people, out of them, just to survive.
Yeah, she's a normal person, more or less, who is in a shit situation that transformed, which is most people in the world. So, like, I don't know. I think for the most part, here's the thing. I think Abby would be a hero in the post-apocalyptic world if it wasn't for Joel.
I can agree with that sentiment.
Like, she's a paladin. Like, if this is D&D, Abby's a paladin. 100%.
Even in this content?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oath of Vengeance.
Interesting. So
very specifically, paladin. She's a rogue. 100%.
Okay. What about Joel?
Barbarian fighter?
Interesting.
Dina.
I'm just going to ask you characters here.
Dina? I mean, it's hard because it's all, like, guns. So, like, Dina would be...
Just go for nature, then, I think.
Yeah, I would still say fighter. Jesse, fighter. Tommy, fighter. Most of these are going to be fighter. I think Ellie is rogue just because she used a lot of more sneaking around tactics. So I think she more classifies as a rogue. Abby, I just say paladin simply because she just has that, like, I want to do good nature to her, even if her, like, morality is really off. I think paladins fall along those lines.
Anyways, we got... sorry, audience.
I mean, for those who watch D&D, they're like, oh, I never thought about it that way. At least I hope that's what they think. If you haven't played D&D, go play. It's fun.
I have not played enough of it, but I was going to say, like, I feel like Dina is... I don't know much about, like, supporting classes, but I feel like that's kind of her nature is to kind of...
I can't say bard.
I almost could say... I mean, from what I know, I could see, like, something like cleric, just given, like, how... God damn it. I'm going to delve into spoiler territory
Maybe druid. Maybe.
Sure.
But like, it's...
Well, that would kind of track.
Yeah. I can't really say one way or another. All right. Let's go. Do you have a question for me?
Sure. Jackson survivors. How the fuck do they come back from this?
Oh, can we wait on that one?
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
But I will say then, okay, that kind of ties into my next one.
Okay. Okay. Then I have to go then. That's I don't have to go, but I want to lead that talking point.
That's kind of okay. These three questions kind of all tie into each other. Are we getting a time skip?
Ooh, a little bit, yes.
Not a major one, but I think we're gonna get off of the things I've seen. I think it's gonna be at least like 2 or 3 months.
Ooh, really? You think it's gonna be 2 to 3 months?
I mean, they show Ellie kneeling at a grave, and it's like autumn, or it's like spring, or it's like
I'll see if I can find it. Yeah.
But it's like in a field. It's not
that would fit the game though. Like I don't think it was a few. It was like a few weeks, wasn't it, or at least a few months? I think there was a.
It was like I don't think there was any gap at all. I think she was like pretty much right out.
No, but it was. I mean, spring. It was winter to spring. Was it not?
I always took it as it was like the tail end of winter leading into spring.
I took it that way too. And that's... But like a 2 month period, would that not fit?
No, because when in the game, when she visits his grave, it's like still snowy outside.
Oh.
So I always imagined it kind of transitioned into more spring as she, well, I shouldn't say anything more because we haven't.
I haven't seen the trailer, so I don't know. I would be okay with the time skip.
I think that would help. And then there was like her like training with Jesse too was another part of the trailer. So I'm like, is this going to be like, which is interesting because now it's like in the game, it kind of feels like you have this fucking hot iron that you're like off to the races.
Well, it gives.
And in this game, it like really does like, it's like kind of slowing it down and it's like letting it simmer.
I think the game had the feel of it. It was a while. Like they had to take time to bury Joel and grieve for Joel. And then they turned to revenge. So I think like, what I think in the game is like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month.
Yeah, but I'm saying like I think this is going to be like 2 to 3 to maybe even 4 months, like gap, like
think,
in between.
I think like 2 months I'd be okay with. I think once you get to 3 or 4, it's like, okay, it's a little bit longer than what I was expecting, but not a deal breaker.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I don't think it would alter the course of the story at all if it was 3 months. But I think it just is interesting from a character perspective of like, she sat and stewed with this for a while.
Well, I mean, I can't say anymore without referencing the games. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is the big one. This is the one that's, I have like, it's like a part of several questions. But it talks about the clickers of Jackson. Am I alone in saying that they did not need the huge set piece of clickers? Like, I don't think as cool as this scene was, as cool as seeing it was, the aesthetic was amazing. I don't think it added anything to the actual story. And I don't know how they will.
Oh, I have a counterpoint to this. I have a counterpoint.
That was part of my question. That was part of my question.
This gets into spoiler territory. You can't do
too much spoilers, man.
It explains who would go on this quest for revenge better.
It does.
Because otherwise in the game I always was like, what? What do you mean you're not like? In this case, like there ain't anybody to go.
Oh, there isn't. I have a Tommy question, but I can't ask. I can't ask the Tommy question.
I thought he was going to fucking die this episode. I really did. I was like, dude, this is it. Wow. That's all I'll say. But I don't know if you thought the same thing at all at any point. But I was like, oh, wow.
I wasn't worried. Like, I didn't think he was going to die at any point. But yeah, there was definitely times where it was like, how is anyone surviving this? Like, as soon as the bloater broached the wall and like that you had like hundreds if not thousands of infected inside the town, I'm like, how are you guys not fucked at this point? How does this not take several days if not weeks if not months to kill every single one of those infected?
That's a good question. What? I don't know. I mean, apparently we actually know. We do have the answer. Fucking dogs are apparently the most valuable commodity in The Last of Us.
The dog thing was, almost like, that's a WLF thing in part two. And we can't talk more about it, but I'm just like, does this kill that part of the story for another faction that uses dogs? Or is this like, we're just getting a lot of dogs?
I think we're just getting a lot of dogs. Who can complain? I love doggos. But I think it also does show, like, the old school style of, like, I mean, like, back in, you know, you used to watch, like, a Game of Thrones, and they had dogs there, too, to, like, do hunts and stuff. Like, you use your resources. You're like, hey, you guys can't get infected. We can train you to fucking these things up.
Why can't animals get infected? That was going to be my other question. I'm like,
I think at one point in the game development, they talked about having infected animals, but then they realized, I think, honestly, they cut it mostly due to budget constraints.
Yeah, probably.
But also, I kind of like that it doesn't affect animals.
It keeps it simple.
And it also, like, makes stuff like that. It, like, also kind of, like, pushes humans back to, like, almost a Stone Age-esque thing. Not Stone Age, maybe, but...
Part 3, baby.
Like, yeah.
Infected animals. God, dude,
I hope not. I kind of like that the infected are just the humans. I think that's cool, personally.
I wouldn't
that's
mind
just
a
me,
part
though.
3, like, some animals get infected. Like, can you imagine...
That'd be cool if, like, a primate did.
Oh,
like,
I was thinking a fucking gorilla. Or just, like, what if it was an infected, like, cheetah or jaguar, and it was hunting you?
You'd be fucked. You'd be so fucked.
I know, but that's, like, why...
It's a fucking fast that you're like, yeah, what are you going to do
to like
that
it's
thing?
Like a clicker, and it's just, like, in the tree, and you're like, and it... I don't know. It'd be cool.
That's when you just take the fucking 45 and you're like, I guess I'm visiting heaven now. I'm not even going to fucking attempt
shit. That's fair. Okay. But let's get to my original question, though, because I'm really curious about this. I love seeing the clickers. I love seeing the bloaters. I love seeing Tommy going mano-a-mano with a fucking bloater. And, like, this is literally, like, they're really like, oh, you didn't get enough clickers. We had a whole set piece with hundreds of clickers. You know what? Fuck you. Here's HBO's like, here's a shit ton of money. Make us Game of Thrones clicker edition.
Dude, I actually, so before you go any further, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting, but this is probably my favorite episode so far. It was literally HBO being like, hey, we got Game of Thrones money for you guys. And they were like, bet. Let's fucking go.
Here's my argument about this, though. This didn't do shit for the story. This did not add anything, which is very much to their point of storytelling.
Oh, nope. Counterpoint. I have a fucking counterpoint to
you
this.
Do. Okay, let me finish my point before you counter.
All right, say your point.
Come on, man. Okay. Don't trap card me. Let me finish my monologue. Don't cajole me right now. I'll stick a knife through your neck. Oh, my God. That's so vicious. Small ferocious Abby's getting on me. It's not just Beefcake Abby. Okay, anyway. The reason why I just like it doesn't really add much to the story is this episode was Joel's episode. This is about the relationship of Ellie and Joel and the culmination of all of Joel's events into this. I know that there's a whole like Jackson defense and maybe this goes into an actual story that I'm not aware about. And I'm sure it will because these creators and writers are actually pretty fucking good at their job. I just, for me, when I watched this, it was very much like cool, awesome. I'm happy to see it. I'm not gonna say I complain about it. I just don't think it adds anything, and it kind of, I remember them talking about season one where they specifically said they were not going to add clickers unless it added to the story of love, which I disagreed with. I thought they should at least added a few clickers just for the fact that we get to see them. They can just be the intro to an episode, at least for episode 9, if not episode 8. They should have at least done that. They don't need to be part of the story, just like a hey, these things exist in our world. They're an actual threat. Ellie and Joel just survived it. But for this episode, I'm like, I don't see the actual purpose of them. Maybe there is. Maybe there isn't. Michael, counter me.
All right. Boom. I wish I had my beer. I wish I had... Oh, I have a little bit of beer. Give me a second.
All right.
Good. Finished it. Polished. Rally. Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right, this is a multi-pronged approach we're going to take to this. First off, I'm just going to answer. I'm going to give the most basic answer.
Okay.
Fucking rule of cool wins no matter what. All right, that's I'm
I don't
throwing
disagree.
That. That's
I
like,
don't disagree.
But rule number two, or not rule, counter-argument number two, I think this is going to help set up the story going forward with who goes on this quest for revenge.
Agreed.
Because I think this is for, like, God, I can't say anything. You'll be able to deduce what I'm trying to get from that point. And anybody that's played the games will be able to deduce.
Yeah.
And if we get episode 3, I'm sure we'll be able to answer this. I'm like, so this is why. But the third and most pivotal important moment, this attack shows what Joel stole from the world. This attack isn't a direct reaction to him not creating a vaccine. Yes, there may still be clickers, but all the people that got bit that day, they would have lived. They would have been fine. They survived. They would have been fine.
Yeah.
Now, we're going into the hypothetical that they would have been able to make a vaccine, which I think we have to do in this case. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that, but I think that's what the show is trying to show. Like, it's trying to say, like...
I feel like the show is trying to say that there isn't actually a cure. I think that's what the show is saying.
I think... I'm speaking more metaphorically.
Oh, okay.
Here. That Joel, there may, like, because part of God damn it. I can't say anything else. I'll leave it at that. Okay. I'll just say, Save it for future episodes. Yes. I just think that the attack illustrates what Joel took from the world. It's a direct, and it's all these compounding decisions that Joel makes. If he doesn't save this girl out in the fucking wilderness, he could have said, I don't give a fuck about her and get the hell out of there. Let her get eaten. He doesn't get killed. He goes back and helps Jackson.
True.
But even before that, that girl doesn't end up there because he doesn't kill her father to have her end up there.
Right. I mean, it is in a...
Who therefore doesn't wake up more infected. Who's continuing to join the horde.
It's a little loose.
It's just a little loose, but I do think it's supposed to show, like, this is what Joel did to ultimately take from the world. Like, ultimately, like, whether or not, like, at least in a metaphorical sense, like, there was a chance that they could have had a cure, and that even if people got bit, they could be okay.
Okay. Yeah. I see where you're getting at. And, like, in a way, I had that thought, too, because it's like, well, that horde wouldn't have waken up if Abby wasn't there, but if Abby wouldn't have been there if Joel didn't kill those people. But also, Ellie wouldn't have been there either if Joel didn't kill those people. So it's...
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. And I think, like, metaphorically, maybe that is what they're going with. But I don't think there's enough of, like, what we've seen so far to really say, like, yeah, that's what they're going for. I will say, just in the show, I think the show is trying to say there is no cure. And, like, the Fireflies are kind of... They are incompetent, right? They want to kill Ellie because they think they can make a cure, but this is also somebody who is just a surgeon. He isn't like a he is Jerry Anderson.
I think in the game they do say he's like a specifically I think you find like a journal where it says like he's specifically like. It's such a weird, like, it's such a specific, like, he literally studied like cordyceps infections and was a highly trained brain surgeon. I'm almost positive I remember reading something and being like, wow, that's really on the nose.
Yeah. I'm not sure. We'll look it up as the story continues, but yeah, I don't know. For me, I'm like, as of right now, I don't see any reason for this set piece to be here. I'm okay with it personally. It's fun to see. The rule of cool definitely wins in this scenario, but just from a storytelling piece, like in the game, they didn't need this. So I'm curious to see if this is just like there is no other consequence to this happening. But I know these show writers well enough to know that there's going to be some consequences, and they're going to like it's going to be a choice that comes with cool enough consequences that make it work. We'll see. Okay, let's get into more questions.
Oh, actually, one more thing I'm going to tie in with that. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think it's that thing specifically is that who does Jesse bring up earlier when he's talking to Ellie in the store? He talks about how Eugene, and he said, it's a damn shame he went out like that.
Yeah.
It's just nothing can be helped. And you see Ellie be like, I could have helped. And it's like, it's another combo. That's why I think that's my... Oh God! I feel like I just played a fucking.
It was good.
That was a good mention.
Oh, it's a decent counter. It's a decent counter, but I think it needs a few more episodes to be argued properly. If that makes sense. So let's put a cap on it for now. We'll come back to that question later because I think it's a good question. Another one that ties into Abby. Are the frozen clickers or the sleeping hordes of infected, is this an acceptable reality for The Last of Us?
Define acceptable.
Like, is this a reality where you're like, oh, that tracks? Or like, oh, that's, I never knew that about infected. Are we okay with, like, they can just be in a mountain sleeping and then out of nowhere there's just thousands?
I think the thousands is a little much, but
in the game, it was something similar. It was like 100, maybe.
Yeah, like 100 of them.
Very formidable. But, very much like, hey, we need to like not be in the mountain, in the wild, in the blizzard, because these things are roaming and killing anything in sight. Mm-hmm. But like to the point where they're trying to completely, you know. I'm trying to think of the White Walker,
Irony.
White Walker of the town, you know, like,
yeah,
I just, it's one of those things where, like, is this how clickers are? Is this hordes? Like, this reminds me of Walking Dead, but I know there is hordes that move. And I know they talk about it. It just seems like a lot.
So, here's what I would say. I think it kind of fits with the show's canon of the infected being more connected mm-hmm. with the tendrils. Yep. And I think if I was looking, like, if I'm being, like, gracious, I think if it's, like, an animal and it's, like, hibernating, it's like, oh, I got to protect my appendages, so cover up a little. You know, like, animals do some weird shit to defend themselves. It would make sense that, like oh, it's getting colder, and they just go dormant because they have nothing to hunt.
Oh, man, I have a counterpoint that I got from you. I'm surprised you didn't say it. Oh,
go for it.
All right, remember, so this is part two, and this is not really a game spoiler, but it's a small one, just a very small one. You mention in part two, Abby goes to Las Vegas for reasons.
Or Ellie, sorry.
She passes through, and that she was stuck underneath a horde because the horde came in and just, like, was through town. This wasn't in Las Vegas. This was in Palisades, California, for reasons that we won't explain. But there was a passageway because I read it when I was playing through that part of the game.
Oh, you did?
I did read it, and I was like, oh, that's what Michael is. Like, oh, it's not Las Vegas. There was a passage of Las Vegas, more or less.
I thought it wasn't.
She was stuck in a basement where the horde came through a town, and basically she was stuck there for days.
That's what I'm saying. So game... she heard him above her, and she's like, what am I doing here?
So this horde does fit into game lore as well. It's just weird to see because in the games it's very individualized. We get pockets of infected. We get a little bit of it, whereas the show, that we see hordes. We see actual hordes and have to fight actual hordes. So it's a little bit different. It feels more Game of Thrones-y. I'm okay with it, but it is a different change, at least at this magnitude, because we don't see this in the games.
Mm-hmm. I do think that's more of a hardware limitation than a story limitation, if that makes sense. In the games.
Fair.
Just like it, just in like the sense of, okay, I'm gonna get super nerdy here. So your CPU is what handles like the amount of objects mm-hmm. on a screen at a time, and it can only do so much.
Okay.
And then if you start adding detail to those, it starts getting slower and slower, and then shit just starts crashing. Like in Breath of the Wild, when you start adding a bunch of shit in at once, and then you get a lot of particle effects, the game's just like or not Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, and it's just like okay, I try this hard.
That makes sense.
I think that's why, like, that's another advantage, I think, of media being television, because they're like, oh, hey, we really couldn't do this in the game because a PS5 would set on fire when it was
that's
trying
fair.
To do this.
That's so. Fair. But from a game perspective, it's like, god damn, there was never this much amount, which it's fine. It's a different medium. It's a different story. It's a different variation. Perfectly fine with it. And it's just a question of, is like, is this an acceptable reality for those who play the games? Because it's a different level of infected, or at least a different amount of infected, a greatly different amount. I have one more question, I believe.
Sure.
I have like two other ones. The other one, just honorable mention, why are friends screaming for Abby in a blizzard? That one didn't make sense to me because I was just like, why the fuck are you screaming? You're right next to like a bunch of people and you're on top of a mountain. Don't do that. That's dumb.
Yeah, that was dumb.
So the other one is this one should have been just another question. And if you don't have one, maybe I'll save it. Well, no, it's part of what we're talking about. Tommy not being at the mansion, is it a service or a detriment to the story? Also, is he not a fucking badass? We already talked about that piece. Just a quick yes or no. Is him not being in the mansion a service or a detriment to the story?
No, I think it's actually a good choice.
Okay.
Well, to be honest.
We'll leave it at that. I don't know yet. We'll see. I think episode 3 will answer that more. All right.
I think it gives, without going too spoilerific, I want to go out and expand off it. I think it gives Dina more agency.
It could have.
It could, yeah. Yeah. It still does, just not to the same level.
I know. It could have been more. I'll let them cook before I judge. I'll let them cook. Okay.
Sure.
This is my last question. Is the knife death of Joel a more satisfying death in comparison to the golf club death from the game?
Okay. I would say it's more realistic, but I don't like it. I preferred the violent. Oh man, that sounds so fucked up. But I actually do prefer the video game death scene.
How do you prefer to show the die?
Mostly just like, I just think they delivered it better. And like, I feel, I don't like that Ellie had, I think they could have had the scene with her crawling to him, but I think it would have been more, I liked how they knocked her out. Cause I felt like that was kind of stupid. Like, you're going to let this person like watch you just leave. You don't want to knock, but once again, video game logic. Guess I get it. But I think, and I preferred like the cold, like in this, it felt like oddly like homey, I guess. Like it felt like you were doing it. It's like a theater and show in somebody's parents' like living room. Whereas like the death scene in the video game is a lot more cold.
And, yeah. Like, it's so cold.
It's a lot. It's like, I mean, you get the cold lighting and the snow in the background. There's no warmth in the room. And it's like, it's
really cold too.
It's very hellish. Yeah.
And Abby was just like, end it. And she just poof, dead.
And that ringing noise. I'm glad they brought that sound effect in because I think that's such an integral moment to show like trauma.
Yeah.
And like that moment of shock.
I will say this. I think each death worked very well with the variation of Abby that the game and the show portrayed. I think I really like the death for Beefcake Abby. Because I think her just brutally being with the golf club is Beefcake Abby. Like, that is how she kills. That is, like, shows her strength. And honestly, I just think it fits her character more. Small, ferocious Abby. Small and furious Abby. Who's just more taking more punches, more stabs. I think the knife is actually weirdly, like, a merciful kill. Like, you know what? Fine, I'm done. I'll end this. I'll do this for you. But I really like the sound of the knife. The sound. And I like the satisfaction of it.
God,
like, so... and not just like the satisfaction of like, ah, he died. But like the satisfaction of like, you just knew he was dead. Like in the game, there was like a minute, there was like a small couple glimmers of hope. Like maybe he can just hold on. Maybe he just took that one more hit. Maybe his brain is not that badly damaged. But the knife through the neck, he dead.
Yeah.
There's no question. He dead. Like that sound was in the neck. So I like that bit more, but I think the golf club scene is better fit for Beefcake Abby. So that's my take on it.
God damn, man.
Small little bit. Manny switched up for Jordan. We don't get Jordan. We get Manny.
Yeah, or Leah.
Or Leah.
We didn't get Jordan, Leah, or there's another guy. They cut the crew down.
I think that's fine. I think it works.
Yeah, I think...
I think Manny is like Jordan. I think Manny's like that... lovable. He's like a lovable prick where like once you get to know him, you're like, oh, he's kind of like that smooth sailing, I'm just gonna sleep with every person who lets me.
Well, wait, you gotta you're getting definitely spoiler territory. Oh, fuck here.
Yeah, I am, my bad. Yeah, okay, we'll leave it at that.
Sorry.
He's lovely. It's okay. All right, sorry. Thank you, Michael, for the call. Okay. Let's get into the ratings and then all the awards that we do at the show. Rating, Michael.
That's an A episode for me, dude.
Dude, what's with you not using the actual A? You went 8 last time.
I don't know. I always fucking get it wrong.
It's just this season. Season 1, season 2, you're right on board. It's like I don't have you on enough or something.
I don't know. Yeah, I do need to be on board. I will you do your rating first.
Okay, I will do my ratings. Reminder for everybody: I do kind of a tier system 1 through 5. One.
God damn it! I was gonna say. I'm like, no, it wasn't. One, it's not numbers. It's lit.
1 being trash. 5 being elite. I give this a 4+. I gave it
4+.
Yeah, I gave the last episode a 5-. Okay, so this is why I said. 4+. More remarkable than the premiere, but to me, less quality, at least in terms of writing. Visually, very appealing. The fight, the whole Jackson whole battle scene, very fun. Unnecessary for me, but very fun. Abby's totally different, but works. This episode is very in line with the first, but just a little bit faultier with story and writing. 4+ for me could be a 5-. Honestly, you could work me up to a 5. Who knows? We'll see. Right now, 4+ is rather good.
Okay, I would say 5- for me. Also, I think it's interesting that you mix minuses with numbers. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But I'd say 5-. It's not a perfect episode. I think the worst part about it is the mustache twirly, like, campiness of Abby.
I don't hate it.
But other than that, I think it's a fucking best episode so far. Actually, I just looked it up while we were talking. Mm-hmm. It is the number one highest rated episode of the TV series so far.
Yeah. It's a fucking good TV series. Like, it's a good freaking episode. I just, there's a difference between, like, the remarkable. Like, I think Red Wedding, Game of Thrones, it is an absolutely one of those episodes you remember. Is it the best episode of the series? No. It is definitely one of the most remembered, though. I think the penultimate from season 2 is slightly better, but it's not as rememberable. The battle at Blackwater Bay, more remember. Or I think it's better written, but not more rememberable. If that makes sense. Like, it's like MCU. I think Winter Soldier is better than Endgame, but I don't think it's a more rememberable film.
Okay,
does that make sense?
I got you.
That's where I'm at with it. All right, most valuable character. I have a 1A, 1B situation, and I listed nothing else.
Sure, go for it.
I gave Joel and Tommy the 1A, 1B. With this being, Joel is the hero Abby didn't deserve, and Tommy...
For real.
Tommy was the leader that Jackson Hole needed.
I actually have... No notes. You're 100%. That's pretty much.
I couldn't do one or the other because I'm like, no, Tommy deserves this just as much as Joel. Joel deserved it because when he saved Abby, he did the right thing by Dina, which is why he went with Abby in the first place, because Dina was very injured and like wasn't in a position to travel as well. So like if they did get caught up like with clickers and like infected, like Dina was kind of fucked, which is why he went with Abby, or at least that's what I assumed. So like Joel did the heroic thing, he took the risk. At least that's what, like, headcanon, that's what he was doing, because I really was like the whole time I was like, Joel, why the fuck are you going with them? It doesn't seem like a smart choice. I think that's why second watch. But Tommy was very much the leader that Jackson Hole needed. I don't know how they survived. That should have been another one of my questions. Like, how, that was your question. How the fuck did they survive? I don't fucking know. Tommy somehow did it.
I can see how they survived, but I'm more so wondering like the long-term ramifications. Oh, like in terms of like how many people like got wiped out. There are a lot of people died. You saw those clickers hitting the roofs like crazy, dude.
Wait a second. Hold on. I don't think we realized this. What was a big talking point of episode 1? What was a big like conflict that the town was having in episode 1? What crisis were they having?
Oh yeah, I already, okay, this is fucked up, but I did make a joke about this to my friend. I texted him and I was like, guess they have more hoses.
They also don't have a contractor because he died too.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, they have Tommy. They got the constructometer still.
Does he know how to properly use it? Like, does he know that dial to the right, does it make more houses? Does he know that?
It, you know, I think he's aware, but
but no, that was like a. Maybe like the whole thing was like, well, they don't have a housing crisis now because a lot of people died.
Yeah,
maybe, but they also don't have their contractor, so future problem. It's only delayed. But yeah, I couldn't go anywhere else because I'm like, Tommy very much deserves MVC. But from a writing standpoint, it's Joel. From a best hero, best character, like who deserves the honorable, like the MVC in that sense, it's Tommy. MVV, most valuable villain. There is only one.
Come on.
It's Abby. There is an honorable mention, though.
To whom?
That bloater.
I was going to say,
deserves MBV. They were toast without him. They had a chance. They should have won. They did.
They were toast with him.
They did not, but they were close. They were. He became toast.
Yeah, I should say he was toast with them. Yeah, he I am toast.
It was a cool death. Cool death. So honorable mention to that bloater. Honestly, maybe he should be too. Maybe he should be in competition. But yeah, this is Abby's episode. Best new character. It's the same. It's Abby. There is none of those Abby and friend characters really stood out to me. Mel, Owen, none of them really like stood out. And I'm like, it's Abby's show. It is.
I did like how they had her like having that nightmare about her dad.
No, yeah.
See his brains in the floor. That was a nice like empathetic touch. But this is where I was gonna say, I do think what's great about the show is one of my buddies who I'd say would be somebody that would probably really struggle to relate mm-hmm. to Abby if you played the game just outright.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is letting him actually have a fair chance at her. Because he doesn't like her, but he's like, I get it. I think it's because I think the problem with the game is they just withhold too much information right from the get go. I think if they had just said you killed somebody precious to me,
I love it,
and they just leave it at that, that's all they had to give you, and it's like fuck.
I love it for the empathy test that it is. You have to like you get someone you killed or someone you know died, someone you love died is killed. Can you empathize with that person when you are forced to? It's such a thing when you have limited information and you learn that information on the backside of things. I don't know. I've never experienced a game like this. I've never
experienced
anything like this. And I used to think it was a storytelling thing. I used to think it, you know, like, hey, you should tell it this way. But then I had someone, a YouTube video, and I think I sent it to you. They were just like, Last of Us Part 2 is not written poorly. It is not poorly paced. It is a game most people don't understand because it's not a 3-act structure story. It's a 5-act structure tragedy. It is meant to make you sad. It is meant to challenge you. It is meant to do these things. And I'm like, for a mainstream audience, horrible way to go about it because your goal is to make this very popular and appealing. But from like artist standpoint, fucking love it. Like, I've never been this challenged emotionally before in a video game, and that it comes from a lot. Like, and I think that's why most people get tripped up. I think most people do not have the emotional capability to get over Abby's action. And I think, like, honestly, like, I want people to play this game fully, and if they can get through this part and if they can empathize with Abby, you pass the test. If you can't, and you're like, you make up all the excuses of like, oh, poorly written, this, I'm like, no, it's meant for this. It is meant to do the, it's meant for you to feel the way you feel. It is up to you if you can get over it or not. And most people cannot. That's how I feel about the game. And that's how I feel about this moment. Also, shout out to Pedro Pascal, who took a picture and posted it immediately with Caitlin Devers.
Yep.
And just being like, I love this person. We're Blizzard buddies. Like, don't fucking hate her. Like, she's just an actor playing a part.
Yeah, that's, I do think people hate, like, whenever people get that toxic, it's like, grow the fuck up. It's a fucking TV show.
Like, freaking, all the haters on Laura Bailey. And like, leave fucking Laura Bailey alone. She did a peak fucking job. Well, even,
like, Joffrey. Like, Pat Gleason? I don't remember his name. But, like, he, like, Jack Gleason, thank you. I was like, it's not Pat, but and it was something like, Ah Gleason. But he like quit acting for a while there. And it's like, okay, he literally did what he's hired to do. You should be like, dude, fucking shots. Because I hate him. He's such a fucking.
You hate him. He
did such a good job.
He did an amazing job because you fucking hate him. He is.
Same thing for. Can I say something? Fucking Cersei.
I fucking love Joffrey. Like, he's a shit ass person. And like, I don't like him the way I like Abby. I just really love every scene with him because he's such a spoiled ass brat that I'm just like,
very good at that act.
I just like seeing people just be like, fuck you. I don't care if you're the king, but then like,
sounds like Ramsay is the same vibe too, where he's like, you're like, I hate you, but like you love to hate them kind of thing. You're a fucking bastard.
Like Better Call Saul, Lalo. Like you just like,
yep, same thing.
You're like, ooh, he's a devilish prick, but I kind of like him. Yeah. I guess, like, well, that's a little bit different. But yeah, Ramsay has a little bit of charm with him, where it was like, Joffrey, you're just like,
it's just pure repugnance.
I just want to fucking bitch slap you across the face, and then you have our favorite character does it. You're like, yes, get him.
That's a boy.
But yeah, I like that character. And yeah. Final thoughts, parting thoughts, Michael. We are 10 minutes past our...
I don't really... I think it's my question ultimately will be, and there's really not an answer to this, is what happens going forward. Will this... I don't think we're going to see a sharp drop. I think there's a bunch of part two haters that are like, everybody's going to quit watching the show. They're going to be like, I don't want to watch the show anymore because you killed Joel, and he's the best character, and you don't understand. And it's going to be, what's going to happen is people are like, I really want to see what happens next. And they're like, what? How? It's Joel. You can't kill Joel. Sorry, I'm just trying to channel my internet troll rage.
If you were the internet troll, this is what I'll say to you. Get over it. Get the fuck over it. This isn't a basic.
It's Joel. He's the hero of the story. You don't understand.
Dude, if you want to watch something basic, go watch cable network or some cable show or like network TV. This is
maybe I will, Jacob.
Good.
Maybe we're gonna have an episode where I talk about this the whole time.
Good. Fuck on off. Like that would be your attitude. Like if someone's like, I hate this, it's just like
you feel it already?
It's a storytelling thing that you don't quite understand, and that's fine. You don't need to. Like the biggest problem that this game has is that it is a mainstream game that didn't appeal to the fan base. Like if they wanted to appeal to the fan base, this wouldn't be a tragedy. It's a tragedy. People die. Joel died. That's the point. It's a tragedy. It's Ellie's story, not Joel. We already got Joel's story. We already played as Joel. We already lived through Joel. Joel got his happy ending, kind of. He fucked it up. But that's okay. It's a tragedy, right? We're playing Hamlet. We're playing Romeo and Juliet. There is no happy ending. I'm not saying Neil Druckmann is Shakespeare. I'm not saying like he's up to that level. I'm not saying he's this version of Shakespeare. What I'm saying is this is elite storytelling. You're getting mad at somebody. You're getting mad at somebody writing a tragedy.
Yeah. Like I don't get why people are so sensitive.
You don't understand what you're getting into. Like enjoy it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just me. If you don't like it, you don't like it. So, all right, Michael.
Jacob.
I don't know. That was my parting thoughts. All right, anything else?
Yeah. I think that's it. I'm excited to talk to you next week. We'll see how this next episode goes.
Me too. Ooh, yeah, I did have one last thing. You watched the trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this spaceship episode at all in any way, shape, or form? Or are they...
No, dude.
Okay.
I think that's going to be towards the end.
Okay.
It might not even be till next season, to be honest with you.
But it is coming, Greg. Greg Mason has stated it is coming. This is a must. He did state it is a must.
Good.
All right.
It can't not be.
All right, Michael, I'm taking off.
It can't be for nothing.
El Papi, Michael Schumer, thank you for coming on. This is your host, Jake Scherbing.
Signing off. No problem. Happened a good time. See you next week.